Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of January, recording at 9 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today. Asian stock markets were in really very good form overall. I noticed the Asia-Pacific region, I noticed that Australia was down a little bit, but most of the Asian markets were really quite strong. Upper dynamics, good percentage gains, and very often breaks above the earlier December highs, and in a few instances breaks above the November highs as well. Now, European stock markets had a mixed day. They started firm, gave up the gains, and then closed with modest gains for the most part. Particularly Switzerland, but Switzerland had been closed for longer, so it had a little bit of catching up to do. Now, we had good gains in Brazil here once again today. Canada up a bit. The U.S. market is down slightly. We're just in the final run on the tape. It has been down most of the day, but has pared back its decline. So it's really quite small. 79 points in the Dow, as I speak. A smaller, only 4 points down in the S&P, and also in the Nasdaq. So a quiet day here for the U.S. The main drama of the day, other than some of those upward dynamics in the Asian stock markets, appears to be the weaker euro. The weaker euro has fallen quite sharply here today. That pushed the U.S. dollar index up fairly strongly. The yen is weaker here today as well, but the U.S. dollar is down, for instance, against the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar, and also sterling, which has been quite weak recently, has seen a little bit of a technical rebound here today. Precious metals, on the earlier strength of the dollar, particularly against the euro, we saw some quite sharp shakeouts in the platinum and also gold markets. Did I say platinum? Not platinum. Platinum saw a small decline, but then closed up on the day. Silver saw a sharp setback. For instance, on the March contract, it dropped down to 10.57, but is last trading after hours here at 11.24. So it's still down 25 cents, but that's quite a comeback. Gold bullion is down 16.5 as I speak at 8.59. Now, elsewhere, crude oil, I believe we've had further gains in here today, 48.51. Natural gas is up as well, up over $6. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the upper dynamics that we saw in the Asian stock markets really represent a little bit of a catch-up play, but they contribute to the evidence that we've been seeing also from the European stock market indices and also from the U.S. stock market indices, that these patterns look increasingly like small base formations. Now, to question that, just to question it, we would need to see breaks below the reaction lows that we saw in the last week of December. But to really challenge the overall base building hypothesis, we would need to see closes beneath the actual December lows, which were at the beginning of the month. Now, most of these patterns have got some decent breathing space between current levels and those early December lows. And of course, the early December lows are not the actual lows, which were recorded in October and November for most stock market indices. So it's a positive picture technically, and those small base formations that I've described are also dominated by upward dynamics. They also show higher reaction lows. And Fuller Money is very much in the business of really reading markets on the basis of what we see rather than rumors and stories or the comments of famous people. We look at the market action, and the market action suggests very much that stock markets have been under accumulation over the last 2 months or more. Now, how could that actually be when there are so many concerns? And well, we had that climactic sell-off going into October. We've had massive stimulative packages. We've got low interest rates, record low in some instances, and falling rates elsewhere. We've got really aggressive stimulative packages already known and counting. Some of the most respected bears are not looking for a depression, and some of them even feel that we may see the U.S. economy coming out of its recession, albeit rather tentatively, with a weakish recovery in the second half of this year. If that's the case, stock markets are happy to look ahead, being discounting mechanisms. And what people are beginning to sense is a whole lot better than some of the depression and extreme forecasts that we were hearing late last year. Now, again, I think this is a favorable opportunity. It is in line with the Fuller Money view, going right back to those climactic days in October, that we were due to see a ranging reversion to the mean rally. I took a certain amount of stick for offering that view from subscribers who said, "You don't know what you're talking about. The U.S. is in a depression." Well, that's a view rather than a reality, of course, and an emotional one at that. I'm not making light of the seriousness of the economic deterioration that's taking place in the U.S. And of course, there's always a risk that when you get the credit, the long credit cycle interrupted or disrupted as seriously as it has been disrupted, that we could actually see a full debt deleveraging and unwind that did lead to a depression environment. But against that, we have to weigh up the fact that we've had these massive programs coming from central banks, coming from countries' treasury ministries, really throwing everything in terms of their monetary and fiscal policy at these markets and economies in an effort to avoid that serious deflationary depression type of environment. And I can't recall when it's been a good idea to fight the Fed. When you get moves such as the central bank tightening rates in a bull market, you get a little bit of jitters initially, and then people say, "Well, it's not being effective anymore," and yet the Fed goes on tightening, and eventually it reins in the market. Ditto on the downside. People will say, "Well, they've lost control. They're pushing on a piece of string," but they go on reflating. They cut interest rates to zero, as we've seen in the U.S., and then you get the quantitative easing, which is a nice euphemism for printing money and buying up all sorts of different assets by the central bank. As I've said before, once they cross that Rubicon, they're not going to stop until they have either succeeded or the people involved are dragged out the door and shot. And that last comment is tongue in cheek, of course. Not something that that I expect. So we come right back to the present, and what do we have? We have an environment which looks reasonably well set for an additional recovery by these stock markets. Now, another theme that, and I should have mentioned this in the highlights, we had another big down day in the long-dated government bond prices, and that's very much in line with our view that once stock markets began to show some technical strength, that we would see weakness in these long-dated government bonds. And why? Because the people who had been buying those to the point of discounting a depression environment, and certainly a very deflationary environment, and suddenly say, well, wait a minute, it's not quite as bad as that. We're not getting much of a yield. We've had an awfully good run in these bonds if they've been in them for several months. And they're understandably tempted to take some of the profits and perhaps swing a little bit of that money into equities. Now, we don't want to get, I certainly don't want to get too carried away in here. The action so far indicates certainly a bottom. Is it the bottom? Well, quite possibly it is, given the extent of the bear market that took place, given the extreme reflationary efforts that are actually taking place. Will this be enough to drive stock markets back up to the highs that we saw last year or in 2007? Unlikely. Perhaps a few of them get there, but let's take it one day at a time, and then one week at a time, and then one month at a time. Suffice it to say that we are on schedule here. The technical action supports our contention that we will see a further reversion to the mean recovery by these stock markets at minimum. And just to repeat it, that key point, to negate that view, we really would need to see closes beneath the early December reaction lows. Now, what about the US dollar? I think it's a suspect currency, and so do many other people. But the other point is that virtually all the currencies, the fiat currencies, are suspect. We've seen some competitive devaluation. There's nothing new in that. And that tends to be a leapfrogging process. A government seeks to weaken its currency. That creates the technical signals if they're successful in that initial in those initial efforts. And then we get the momentum move, and that'll carry on for a while until the government that triggered the whole thing feels it's either gone far enough or they're less concerned, and then some other country comes in and attempts to sandbag its currency. So which are the weaker ones over the last week or so? And that's the yen, which had the best rally for the earlier portion of December, right up until last week. And this is the euro and the yen. Excuse me a moment. So the yen and the euro, which had been so strong in the early part of December, they're now coming under pressure, and I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't continue for a while longer. Precious metals, I took some profits today in platinum. I got a little bit nervous seeing the extent to which the euro was down, and for a while the dollar was up against everything, although that didn't last. And so I took the precautionary move of taking some profits in platinum, but its action today has been terrific. The chart is full of potential. I still like it very much for the medium and longer term. I suspect I'll be paying higher prices to get back in, but never mind. Opportunities, again, I've mentioned that I think there are quite a few of them. What about actually shorting the long-dated government bonds? Well, my goodness, they've come down awfully rapidly here. Technically, we've seen the third day of downward dynamics. That's a pretty good signal. It doesn't mean that these markets can't rebound. A lot of it depends if the Fed buying, for instance, of the treasuries, which they've always indicated that they were doing or were willing to do, if that carries on. Personally, I'm lamenting the fact that I didn't go in and short on the first downward dynamic that we saw last week. But I'm a little reluctant to chase in here at this stage. If we get a return rally and some top extension, that would make it easier, perhaps. But there are other opportunities as well. We don't need to play every single one of them, but suffice it to say that I think that long-dated government bonds are a lousy investment, and the fuller money view really has been that when these rallies, that anybody who is clever or fortunate enough to have played those moves, that they should use trailing stops, because once those very strong accelerating upward trends lost upside momentum, there could be quite a rout, and that's what we've seen over the last 3 days. And what else to mention here? Crude oil. This has looked very much as if it has commenced a base building process overall. We've seen some of the warning signs of this. Remember all that talk of $25? Well, not from Fuller Money. We were actually surprised to see it go below $40. What did it get down to? 36, 37? Something like that. That's quite a move on the downside. But if you look at the chart, you can see a very orderly staircase step sequence on the way down of these little tiny trading ranges, and then another step down and forming another little tiny trading range, so on. So a steady progression of lower steps. That whole process has been interrupted by a decent technical rally. There's a good chance that the lows are actually in for crude oil. Of course, it'll be better for the global economy if we get a lengthy base building phase before a serious move on the upside. But this, again, I've said it, this looks like a bottoming out base building phase overall. And the industrial metals are exceptionally cheap. I've bought a couple of them in nickel and copper, but they really have gone right back down to their original bases that they'd seen earlier in the decade. And you add in a little inflation adjustment and they're even cheaper. Producers are cutting back on production, and this is a time when, as I've said before, I wouldn't be surprised if China and some of the other countries that need these metals, that know that they're going to need these metals, it's not a bad time for them to step in and stockpile at what I think are bargain basement prices overall. And global infrastructure development from China to the USA is going to be an important theme in 2009, I believe. Well, I think that's it for another day. Happy New Year to you if you have only just come back here today. In terms of stock market coverage, there's quite a bit of copy that we posted last week that contains some technical reviews and technical reviews and overall views on the equity markets. So if you're keen on equity markets and you've been away, you might just want to have a look at some of those features. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.